God. I feel so unworthy to even stand behind this desk tonight. But he loved me. The book of Philippians, chapter number 3. I'm not going to preach anything you've never heard before. But I do want to share with you something I feel like God strongly impressed upon my mind. Not only for the seniors, but I believe for the younger generation as well. Philippians 3 and 12, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And for a little while here tonight, I want to talk to you about the power of perseverance, or the power of pressing on. And God bless you, and you may be seated. In the face of all difficulty is what happens when we press on. It's what happens when we persevere. We face life and we face all the difficulties in life with a sense of urgency and a sense of determination, and we push past and we push beyond the obstacles that come our way that are there to try to set us back. God did not call any of you tonight to be a failure. And I'll go even a step further. God has never required anything of you more than what he was willing to do himself. But we must press on. Because there is power in perseverance. And so regardless of what you may be going through here tonight, what you may be going through here this week or even in your life in the last few months, God has not turned his back on you. God has not forsaken you. Even in your seasoned years, you're just as valuable to the kingdom of God as you've ever been. And I look out here tonight and I see elders and I see former pastors. And sometimes it's easy to get caught up in the trap that maybe you're not as effective as maybe you once were. Or maybe you think that God doesn't really need you anymore. But you're needed in his kingdom. Brother Buxton, I was thinking just a year or so ago, I know he's not pastoring anymore, but God is still using him. My wife and I was going through a really difficult time, and he just walked in at a moment and began to just minister and tell us some things that had been happening in our life and how God was going to turn things around. And God has started a work. And any work that God starts, you can rest assured that God's going to finish that work. And so you can rest knowing that God has not forsaken you. God has not pushed you aside. God still uses you, as well as some of you other elders here in this building tonight. You can't ever lose that desire to persevere. You can't ever lose that desire to keep pressing on. In the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 9, the writer said, the race is not to the swift. The battle is not to the strong. But it's to those who endure to the end. In my years of pastoring, coming up in March of this next year, I'll be pastoring now for 20 years. And it's like, where did time go? Where did time go? And so in my years of pastoring, I've run across folks who think that when they get older, they can kind of just sit back and they can kind of relax and they can kind of just coast along the way, and they feel like they have lost their sense of importance. And as young people, we should never make our elders feel like they're has-beens and that they've lost their importance in God's kingdom. I love that song you sang tonight, how we're not going to forget the old past, how we're going to remember those things. But yet some of the elders, sometimes we feel like, oh, I've paid my dues. I've worked in the heat of the battle. And so let this younger generation have it. I can sit on the sidelines, and we think we've earned the right to just lay it all down. And so we sit down idly, or we're tempted to sit idly and watch the world go by. But there's a battle that we're engaged in. There's a goal line that we must cross. There's a weight that must be lifted. And there's still a trophy to be won. Amen. Paul said, fight the good fight of faith and lay hold of eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. We're not going to make it to heaven by happenstance. We're not just going to happen to show up there one day and make it, but we've got a work to do. I'll tell you something else. God don't pay unemployment benefits. You've got to keep working. You've got to keep pressing on. I remember that old song Teddy Huffman in the gyms used to sing, I'm going to keep on working till he comes. There's nothing in this world worth turning back to see. My eyes are on the prize that awaits me by and by. And I'm going to keep on working till he comes. You got to keep pressing on. You got to keep persevering. There's power in perseverance. And there's a victory that comes when we press on. And I don't know, maybe this don't mean nothing to anybody here tonight, but if I don't do anything but encourage myself to keep going, I'm going to encourage myself, because you can make it, and you're going to make it if you keep pressing on. It's probably been, I'd say probably 5 or 6 years ago, my wife and I, along with a few friends, it may have been a couple years earlier than that, I can't remember, but we set out on a journey, and there were some who tried to discourage us, telling us that perhaps you shouldn't even try such an endeavor. And you know what's funny? Those who have never stepped out, those who've never tried to do anything in life, are always seem like they feel like they're the person of knowledge to talk to about doing things, or whether or not you should even try to do certain things. And if you've been struggling yourself and wondering whether or not you can make it, you don't need to listen to what a lot of folks have to say. You need to turn a deaf ear to a lot of these naysayers and not let them try to encourage you with their negativity. You got a work to do. God called you to do a work. You may not be working in the same capacity that you were in before, but you still got a work to accomplish. And some of your so-called friends, they can be some of your biggest discouragers. And over the years, I've seen people come to God, and maybe their life was in a mess, and they start out okay, and they seem to stir up a lot of dust, and, oh, we're going to live for God, but something happens, and Brother Crosswhite, they fall by the wayside. And you know, one of the things that's always bothered me is I would always hear somebody in the church say this: I knew they wasn't going to last. I knew they wasn't going to live for God. Their daddy never lived for God. I hope you're not one of those people that try to encourage somebody that way. I've had saints tell me when someone come to church, it wasn't long after I went to the little old town of LeBlanc. Man, we are out in the country, I'm telling you. Y'all think y'all country here. I tell them, we pumped the sunshine in LeBlanc, we pumped the moonshine out. But someone told me, they said, had a young man came to church, and one of the saints that had been there for a long time told me, said, "Ah, brother, I wouldn't waste my time on them." Oh, it just gripped my heart. Have they lived for God steady? No. They fell off the wagon a bunch of times, but I go back and I try to help them. I try to prop them back up. If I can just help them limp across the finish line, it's going to be worth it one of these days. I'm thinking, Lord, one of these nights, one of these days, they're going to stay. And maybe this time they'll get a grip and they'll hold on for dear life. Over the years, I was talking about this journey that me and my wife went on. And we used to drive out to the West Coast, to California. That's where her grandmother lived. And in our travels, we'd often stop along the way and visit some of the beautiful scenery. And so we would stop and pass by the Grand Canyon, admiring all of its beauty and all of the handiworks of God. And we would stand there on the edge of this big, wide, vast canyon. And we'd watch the colors begin to change as the sun would begin to sink down to the horizon, and eventually darkness would swallow up all the beauty and it was gone. And so I wanted to know more about this canyon. We'd take pictures, and I couldn't wait till we got home and we'd get those pictures developed, and we began to read about the Grand Canyon. And how that every year over 4.7 million, almost 5 million people, they go annually to the Grand Canyon. But then I read where less than 1% of those who ever lay eyes on that Grand Canyon, they never descend beyond the rim of that canyon. And so we set out on a journey, and we drove all the way to Arizona, and we drove to the south rim of the canyon. And it was there that we left a lot of our things in the car. and we caught a bus that was going to drive us for 4 hours to the north rim of the canyon. And so we made that journey to the north rim of the canyon, and we got there, and we settled in, and we got a good night's rest, and everything that we now had was in our car on the south side of the canyon, except just a few necessary items that we would need to make a journey. And early that next morning, we began to make the journey of a lifetime, and we began to descend down into the canyon. The things that I had read about the canyon, they began to echo in my mind. And I remember reading how that there were a lot of folks who started the journey that didn't make it out alive. I read somewhere they say every year anywhere from 11 to 20 people, they have to hoist their bodies out of the canyon because they collapsed in the heat. Their hearts had failed them. But I couldn't let those thoughts of what I had read and the people that said I was never going to make it, I couldn't let that deter me. I had to keep persevering. I had to keep pressing on. I found out later, brother, there was people back home that were making bets against me that I'd never walk out of that canyon. But I couldn't let that stop me, because I started out on a journey that I intended to finish. The grade, it was steep. I thought anybody can walk down a hill. But as you begin making that descent, and your weight and the weight of that backpack shifts, and you are constantly breaking, it begins to take its toll on you. You got a 40 or 50 pound backpack, and steadily going down, it puts a lot of pressure on your knees, it puts a lot of pressure on your toes. And you could feel your leg muscles begin to tighten. You could feel your knees at times felt like they were going to buckle beneath all the weight. There was a few times my wife, she may lose footing and she would slip. One time her little trekking pole collapsed and she fell. And that time when she fell, she landed right on the edge, and thank God she was able to spread out and she didn't go over the cliff and fall hundreds or several hundred feet. But we kept on. We stayed on the journey. While she was laying there, we helped her get back up. I took her backpack off of her. I tried to make things as light as I could. But her ankle was twisted. She had sprained her ankle, and she was bruised up. But again, the option of giving up was not there. You can't give up. You're on a journey. Destination is heaven. And there's going to be some slips. There's going to be some falls along the way. But don't give up. Some of you, you've been on this journey for a long time. There's been a lot of hills. There's been a lot of valleys. There's been a lot of roads with rocks to hurt your feet. You can't throw in the towel now. God ain't finished with you yet. He didn't bring you this far to push you to the side. He didn't bring you this far to forsake you. You remember what he said? He said, "Lo, I'm with you always." He said, even to the end. There's power in perseverance. There's power in pressing on. So get back on your feet. If you've been knocked off your feet, get back on your feet. This race ain't over with. It's not time to give up. It doesn't matter how many times you've fallen. Keep pressing on. You're surrounded by people. I mean, you just look around you. They may not be the prettiest things you've ever seen in your life, but they'll help you. I read somewhere that they said that every third person in America is born ugly. Now, if you don't believe it, I want you to look at the person sitting to your left. Now, I want you to look at the person sitting to your right. And if neither one of them are ugly, you're in bad shape. But you've got folks that care whether or not you make it. You've got some folks rooting for you. There's that great cloud of witnesses that's rooting for you. There's power in perseverance. And if by chance you happen to be one that can't help somebody, shame on you. I said, if you can't help somebody, shame on you. Because we're trying to get to that heavenly land. That same person that you might try to help and rescue may be one that helps rescue your lost daughter or your lost son. You never know what you do, how it's going to help somebody. We're not an island. We don't live to ourselves. We don't die to ourselves. Proverbs 24:16, for a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again, but the wicked shall fall into mischief. Rejoice not when thine enemy falleth, and let not thy heart be glad when he stumbleth, lest the Lord see it and it displease him. When a just man sees you fall, when a just man sees you and you're not running like you ought to run, and he offers to help you, you ought to just let him help you shed you of your backpack. Bible says what it says, bear ye one another's burdens. I know it's crazy, but as we were making the trek to the bottom of this canyon, every once in a while I'd see people coming up, and you have to understand, I was about 150 pounds heavier than I am right now when I made that journey. And I told my wife, I said, I guarantee you there's probably not been another person as heavy as I am that ever made that trip. And so I'd see people coming up, and I'd ask them, I said, did they have any fat people down here? And they would just all start laughing. But Brother Crosswhite, not a single one of them ever told me, oh, you're going to die in this bottom of this canyon. Every one of them said, you can make it. You can make it. And so I kept on trying. I was nigh under 400 pounds. So I could sit down in the bathtub, the water in the toilet would run over. I was heavy. But nobody tried to discourage me. I don't know why I said that. I'm going to be in trouble. My wife's already shaking her head. But it's those who have not committed themselves to the journey that will try to push you down. It's those who have not committed themselves that will try to tell you you can't make it. That you can't live for God. Oh, hallelujah. You young people, y'all inspire me when I see y'all living for God. I used to work at a school. I know what young people have to deal with. And then I see people, young people, dressed godly, living holy lives. What a testimony you have. Keep encouraging some of these older folks. They need it. Oh, yeah. Rejoice not against me, O mine enemy, for when I fall, not if I fall, but when I fall, I shall arise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be a light unto me. We made it finally halfway down this canyon. We camped out this little campground called Cottonwood Campground. I don't know if I saw any cottonwood trees or anything there, but that's what they named it. And these wild beasts that we encountered. I hope I'm not going too long. I should have looked and found me a clock. Y'all got so many back there, I don't know which time to believe. But we encountered all these wild beasts in these canyon skunks. Sometimes life just stinks. But we can't allow the skunks of life to keep us and cause us to abandon the journey. We've got to press on. We got to persevere through whatever it is that comes against us. The next day, we made it all the way to the bottom of a canyon. We stopped a few times. They had a ribbon falls, and we climbed up to the waterfalls and fought the birds off all of our luggage, off our backpacks. I don't know how these crazy birds, crows, they can learn, know how to unzip zippers and could get all your peanuts and the things that you needed to keep you energy to make the trip. You've always going to have that along the way. Someone trying to steal your joy, someone trying to keep you from making the journey. But you got to keep pressing on. You got to keep persevering. And so we made it to the bottom. We stayed three nights there. And before we went to bed that night, we took and we had this big old water bag, and I'd fill it up. I said, I'm not putting water in it. I said, they had some lemonade down here, and I filled that thing up full of lemonade because we were going to take and make it out of this canyon in one day. And so I filled up my container with lemonade, because I knew it was going to be a long, long journey to the top. And so before daylight, we strapped on our backpacks, and the only way out of the canyon at this point is up. We're not going downhill anymore. And some of our group, they had blisters on their feet. Some of them, their toes were sore. Their legs were still dealing with Charlie horses, but we couldn't allow that to hinder the journey because we had to get out of the canyon. The temperature in the bottom of the canyon was, I think that morning we left was 70 degrees. But we knew that the closer we'd get to the top, someone had sent word that there was a cold front coming in. And things were going to really come against us. And so we took these little things, they called them crampons, and we'd strap them to the bottom of our shoes in case the cold wind started blowing and the ice started to build up on the trail. We wouldn't slip down and fall off the trail somewhere. And if you're going to make this journey that you're traveling on, you're going to have the armor of God. Amen. You're going to have to put on all the armor of God, not just pick and choose what you think you may need. Later that day, we came to a little garden spot along the way, and I guess it was about halfway out. It was called Indian Gardens, and we thought we'd sit down and rest for a little while. Sometimes resting too long is not good. Some of you folks, you think you retired, and I'm going to rest for a little while. I'm going to lay out of church just a little bit. No, you don't want to do that. I laid there for a minute, and brother, I don't know if it was all the journey, but I've had back problems, had major back surgery in the past, and my back locked up. I couldn't move. And I began to think about those things that people said, oh, they're going to have to rescue you out of this canyon. But I pressed on. I'd hold on to my wife, and heavy as I was dragging her down. But I kept moving. Probably about 20 minutes into the walk, whatever it was, it had that catch in my back lifted, and away we went. And so we knew we had to make it the rest of the way out. We had to keep going. And as I would look up, we could see we were just almost straight up to the south rim now. And they had this little place, they call it Jacob's Trouble, because you just zigzag back and forth. And you'd look and you'd see people standing on the edge of the rim, and they looked, they just barely could see them. But we kept on walking. And after about an hour or two into walking, I realized when I stopped to rest, I didn't fill my water tank up. And I needed someone to help me. Thankfully, my wife had her water jug full, so I would drink out of hers and give me enough strength to keep going. Trail's getting steep. A lot of times we think we get close to the end of life, things are to kind of coast for a while. No. Sometimes it gets much steeper. Sun was starting to go down. It's very unusual for a cold front to blow in like it did, but we kept on pressing on. By the time we got to the edge of the rim, it was still daylight. Temperature was only 18 degrees. But I had pressed on. I had persevered. I had made it to the top of the rim. I looked at my wife, and just tears began to run down our face as we realized the emotional moment when we had completed the journey. Oh, what a day it's going to be when my Jesus I shall see. I told someone, I said, I wanted to go hug everybody's neck. I'd see them up there around the deal. I said, I've been knowing y'all since y'all was that tall. But I had made it. Had I listened to what others had been saying? You young folks, had you listened to what some of your friends try to tell you? It'll hinder you from making the journey. I know I probably bored you with a lot of detail here this evening, but sir, ma'am, would you do me a favor? Better yet, would you do yourself a favor and make up your mind, regardless what may come your way, that you're going to keep pressing on? You're going to keep persevering. Time is short. God's blessed you with a great man. He's blessed you with a great pastor. Amen. Don't make him have to pull you this whole journey. Get behind him. Hold his hands up. Amen. It's going to be worth every heartache when you make it out of this old canyon. It's going to be worth every tear. It's going to be worth every investment. But until then, you just keep pressing on. 2 Timothy 1 and 12, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. I thought of the old song. And musicians, I don't know how y'all do this, but I may close with a track, but if you can just pick it up where I leave off on this track, would be good. I remember an old song my pastor used to say, it will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Life trials will seem so small, but we've got to keep pressing on. In Jesus' name, we press on. In Jesus' name, we press on. Dear Lord, with a price clear before our eyes, we find the strength to press on. Oh, hallelujah. Why don't we all just stand our feet here tonight? Oh, hallelujah. Dear Lord, with a price clear before our eyes, we find the strength to press on. And in Jesus' name we press on. In Jesus' name we press on.
Lord, would you let the Lord minister to you tonight? Would you be encouraged right now? God's wanting to strengthen somebody's step, somebody's grip, somebody's way right now. Let the Holy Ghost strengthen you in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Come on, would you let the Spirit of the Lord just strengthen somebody tonight? Let him strengthen you. Let him strengthen your walk. We find the strength tonight. We find the strength to press on. Would you lift your hands, Son of God? In Jesus' name, we press on. Come on, let that strength come right now. The Lord's here. In Jesus' name, we press on. Dear Lord, with the bride. live before our eyes. We find the strength. If you need to make a trip tonight to the altar, there's somebody tonight that needs the Spirit of the Lord, that needs to feel strength and grace right now. Hallelujah. Come on, the Master's here. Come on, the well of living water is here tonight. Come on, saints, you know how to fight the fight. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. God's here tonight to do a work that only He can do. He's here tonight to strengthen the weary. He's here tonight to heal those that are broken, to mend that one tonight that is in need. Hallelujah, hallelujah. If it's appropriate for you to pray with somebody near you, would you pray with somebody? Would you bind with somebody right now? Come on, pray with that person near you tonight. God, we trust you. We believe you. God, we want revival to continue. We want that constant power of your flow tonight. We trust and believe you tonight, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Believe the Lord with me tonight. Believe the Lord with me tonight. We trust you, Jesus. We believe you tonight. Hallelujah. Yes, in the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, we press on. Lord, with the prize clear before our eyes, we find the strength to press on. Hallelujah. Come on, pray with that person near you. It's okay. Pray with that person. You don't know what's going on right now. Maybe you don't know what they've been battling today. Believe the Lord when you pray. Trust God when you pray. Come on, be specific and pray. God, give them what they need tonight. Give them what they need tonight, Lord. Let the rivers and the liberty of your Spirit tonight be found. Help them to get, Lord, what you've already provided. Help us to cash in tonight, Lord. Hallelujah. And receive what you've already paid for.
With the prize here before our eyes,
we find the strength to press on. Hallelujah. Receive that right now. In Jesus' name, we press on. Hallelujah. Come on, give liberty to the Lord tonight. Hallelujah. Come on, there's young people being touched tonight. Come on, at a senior saints crusade. There's young people tonight that God wants to fill with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. There's healing. Come on, there's healing for the widow. There's healing tonight for the widower. Hallelujah, in Jesus' name, yes. Believe the Lord tonight.
Jesus,
believe Him.
Name.
God, hallelujah. We trust you, Jesus.
In Jesus' name, we press on.
Would you believe the Lord tonight? Come on, believe the Lord to heal this young man, his spirit, his life.
Find the strength to press on. In Jesus' name.
Praise God.
We find the strength.
Yes, Jesus.
To press on.
Yes, Jesus. Yes, Jesus. Hallelujah.
In Jesus' name.
Yes, Jesus.
We press on.
Hallelujah. Jesus' name, we press on. Dear Lord, with the prize
clear before our eyes,
we find. Hallelujah. Would you lift your hands to this building right now? Oh, let's thank the Lord. Give the Lord an offering of thanks tonight. Thank you, Jesus, for your mighty power. Thank you for your excellency, oh Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you for completing us, Lord God. Giving us power to make us whole tonight. We love and we worship you, Jesus. You're beautiful and righteous. Hallelujah. 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 There's nothing like the joy of the Lord. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Would you clap your hands to the Lord tonight? Hallelujah. Somebody clap to the Lord. Applaud him. Praise him and applaud him for his mighty acts, for his excellent greatness. Hallelujah. Praise God. Lord, we thank you for these that are here tonight. Bless the celebration. Bless the food tonight. We give you praise and we worship you. In Jesus' name, put your hand of protection on these that have come. In Jesus' name. In the third building tonight, we have seating there in the third building, and there's an overflow in the second building. If you're a young person from this church at Apostolic Lighthouse tonight, amen, please help us serve, especially our college career age and those that have been trained in the SALT team. Make sure you help me serve tonight. Make sure our guests all get a great meal tonight. Amen. And also, amen, Sister Nana is coordinating this. And so you're welcome to go to building 3. And there you'll find a seat, a place to eat. We want you to be accommodated today. Tomorrow at 11 o'clock, we're going to come back. We'll have a good, great singing and worship. Tomorrow's more than a concert.
It's a place of worship and celebration. We have people coming in from different places even tomorrow. But let's come. Let's give God our best. God bless you. And this is the way we end our services. Let's go to heaven.
Yes.
Now you learned it. Let's say it again. Let's go to heaven.
Yes.
You're dismissed in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. We will meet you at the third building.